What is up, my dudes? Welcome back to Olympia Oddities Sideshow. That's a sideshow noise. How about that much-anticipated solar eclipse? I'm gonna keep it real with you all. I did not look at it. Not once. I didn't even attempt it. I kind of have a hot take. They say it happens like every 100 years or whatever. How come I remember like 3 in my entire lifetime? And honestly, you've seen one. You've seen them all. And from the last one, I remember Dutch Bros, they gave out those solar eclipse glasses. And then they were like, hey, never mind, don't use those. You are going to fry your brain if you use those. So just that alone, you know, I'm not really trusting a Walmart quality pair of cardboard sunglasses with some plastic to protect my eyeballs. You do you, though. Have fun. I hope you guys got to see something. It's Seattle. It's Washington. So I'm guessing that it was gray. I guess I watched a little bit of it on TV, and I gotta say, still not impressed. You know what I mean? It's really one of those, I think if you've seen one, you have seen them all. I can't get excited about it. I am sorry if it was like a UFO blocking out the sun. Call me up. I'll be out there. I'll be staring at the sun with those cheapo glasses on. But just, you know, planets doing what planets do. We don't have to get, you know, what's the big tizzy about? They're just doing what they've always done and what they're always going to do. I don't know. I don't get it. Well, now that I've alienated about half of my audience with a hot take, what do you guys say we get into a local true crime roundup? / some Pacific Northwest based stories that I have seen pop up lately and I think are going to go places, aka have follow-ups. First off, we've got Coeur d'Alene man arrested, accused of planning to attack local churches supporting ISIS. Not good. This is an article by King5. It was posted yesterday and updated today. So the story is very, very fresh, and I'm sure that there will be lots of information coming out about it. The article says, a Coeur d'Alene man was arrested for attempting to provide material support and resources to ISIS, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Idaho. 18-year-old Alexander Scott Mercurio allegedly pledged allegiance to ISIS and intended to commit attacks on the terrorist group's behalf by attacking people at Coeur d'Alene churches with weapons including knives, guns, and fire. He's facing 20 years in prison. Mercurio was arrested on Saturday, April 6, the day before he allegedly planned to attack a local church. According to court documents, those plans included attacking his father, stealing his guns, and then carrying out a suicide attack on church or churches in Coeur d'Alene. His attack plan involved using a flame sword, explosives, knives, a machete, a pipe, and ultimately firearms. This guy's like a pizza cutter. All edge, no point. According to the FBI, Mercurio sent messages in late March. I lost my place in the article. I love video ads so much. Okay. The FBI said on April 6, Mercurio sent a statement pledging his allegiance to ISIS. After that, law enforcement arrested him at his home. During a search, law enforcement found items consistent with his planned attack, several firearms in his father's possession, and an ISIS flag in Mercurio's bedroom. Mercurio is currently in custody awaiting his first court appearance, which is scheduled for Wednesday, April 10th. The arrest followed a multi-year investigation by the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. In court documents, Mercurio is quoted as saying he previously drank the Kool-Aid of white supremacy, but found more purpose with ISIS. It's like, so, like, imagine white supremacists not being shitty enough for you, and you're like, I gotta take this all the way to the top. I need to find the shittiest people on Earth. What the fuck, dude? The FBI said it began when Mercurio reached out to courses online and indicated his support for ISIS and terrorist organizations. The defendant allegedly pledged loyalty to ISIS and sought to attack people attending churches in Idaho, a truly horrific plan which was detected and thwarted by the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force, FBI Director Christopher Wray said. This investigation demonstrates the FBI's steadfast commitment to work with our law enforcement partners to stop those who wish to commit acts of violence on behalf of, or inspired by, foreign terrorist groups. I kind of have one question after reading that. It says that they arrested him the day before his attack, but it was a year-long investigation. So, like, did they just want to see how far he'd get with it? Did they just want to, like, get, like, use that time to gather more evidence? Or was that, like, a ha-ha, you thought you were going to do this, but now you're in jail type move? Like, I'm just curious about, like, why they let it get up to, like, the day before the attacks. Because that seems like it could go wrong, you know what I mean? We've seen killers in the past change their dates around. Columbine, big example of that one. So I don't really have the answers to that one. That's just something that stood out to me, and I was like, huh, I'm sure that there is a perfectly logical answer of why, but the day before kind of feels like you're pushing it on that one. Arrest him like the month before, you know what I mean? You've got enough evidence. The month before. I don't even want to get within the week time frame that they have laid out for their plans. All right, next story. So far, this is a very Idaho-centric episode. The next story I've got for you all, this is an article by The Chronicle, and the title is Idaho Orthopedic Surgeon Suspected of Hiding Camera at His Medical Office's Bathroom. I don't like anything about that headline. It says, a Coeur d'Alene, bruh, not the Coeur d'Alene again. What is going on in Coeur d'Alene? A Coeur d'Alene orthopedic surgeon faces several child sex and voyeurism charges after video footage from a bathroom hidden camera was found at his medical office. Detectives obtained an arrest warrant on Thursday, charging Spencer Greendike, 68, on suspicion of two felony counts of sexual exploitation of a child by preparation of sexually exploitative material and six felony counts of video voyeurism, according to a Coeur d'Alene Police Department news release. Greendike turned himself into the Kootenai. Sorry, I know it's a serious story, but I wasn't expecting Kootenai, okay? That's kind of a funny name. The Kootenai County Public Safety Building on Friday and was booked into jail for a warrant. Greendike owns River's Edge Orthopedics at 3318 North Grand Mill Lane, according to the Orthopedic Specialist Practice website. An employee of Greendike contacted police March 21st about digital storage devices at Greendike's business, police said. They contained video from what appeared to be a hidden camera in a bathroom that showed victims in various stages of undress. Detectives obtained a search warrant for Greendike's medical office and his residence, they said. Police found and seized additional evidentiary items during the search. All of the known victims have been notified. Greendike remained in jail Saturday on a $1.5 million bond. What a creep. Nothing creeps me out more. I mean, there's a lot of things that creep me out, but one of the things that creep me out in this world the most is secret hidden cameras. Anywhere that, like, you're supposed to have privacy and you're not, whether that's, like, you know, the creepy Airbnb owner putting a thing in there, all the way up to physicians who have taken an oath to try to help people, victimizing and exploiting children by taking disgusting bathroom footage of them. It's truly just one of those stories that makes you go, like, the fuck is wrong with people? I feel like I owe you guys a little bit of a palate cleanser, just because we've, you know, really started right from the gates of hell today, honestly, with fucking terrorism and then exploitation of children. I'm sorry, I know this is Sideshow, where usually we kind of laugh at things, but we're off to a rough start. So here's your palate cleanser. This is from Coin, K-O-I-N. Semi-precious stone shaped like a human heart found on the Oregon coast. Isn't that delightful? I wish that's how all news stories were. Look at this cool rock. Cool. You know, like, I wish that we didn't have terrible news to report on and that it was just like, hey, look at this neat rock that people found. So Coin said, a translucent 2-pound rock, the shape, color, and size of an anatomical human heart was recently found on the Oregon coast. The Ransom family of the Greater Portland area told Coin 6 News that they were walking along Short Beach near Oceanside on March 29th when they found the stunning rock resting near the shoreline at low tide. One member of the family, who runs an Instagram account dedicated to rock hunting around Oregon, shared a video of the moment he discovered the extraordinary piece of rock. And I'm looking at a picture of it now. It, you know, if you squint and you have a vague understanding of what a human heart looks like, I can see it. I feel like if they held it vertically in this picture instead of horizontally, it looks more like a heart. So I'm not sure why they they went with landscape over portrait for this picture, but it definitely is a pretty rock. Mike Darren, a geologist with the Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, told Coin6 News that the rock is a carnelian and not a true agate. Carnelians, he said, are a variety of chalcedony, a crystallized form of silica, which in this is colored red with a small amount of iron oxide. The rich red color, translucence, texture, and lack of banding suggests that it is a carnelian. Agates are partially defined by the presence of compositional banding. The apparent lack of banding in this specimen means that it should not be classified as an agate per se. However, being identified as a carnelian, it would be considered a variety of chalcedony. And I'm sorry if I got any of those words wrong. I do like a lot of weird stuff on the earth. I got to admit, not a big rock person. I like a cool rock every now and again, but I'm not like an expert on it like some people are. So sorry if I said anything funny. Please don't bully me. In other fun oddities news, we have a mystery soda machine update. So if you haven't listened to that episode, you should go check it out, because for the first time in years, the machine posted on their Facebook page and gave us an update. It said, "I'm not in Portland. I think the locksmith needs to make me a new home on their property. I've been in surgery for a bit trying to make a full recovery, so I'm in fighting shape. Stay thirsty, my friends." And I can let you know, if that thing comes back, day one, I'm going to be up there getting all the mystery sodas out of that thing that I can. I will call off work for it. I probably won't call off work for it, but I will be up there as soon as my first day off is after its return. That sentence just fried my brain a little bit. But you know what I mean? As soon as I can be back up there when it's reinstalled, bam, we're getting grape Coca-Cola. I just made that up and not a big grape person. Sounds gross. We're getting Surges from 1997. We're getting Wild Cherry Dr. Pepper. We're getting all those weird sodas that shouldn't exist. So I wait with bated breath for the return of Seattle's mystery vending machine. Kind of back into downer territory here. Lighthearted downer, though. Like a weird new third category. So this is an article posted by The Oregonian. And its title is, "A talking crow went viral after befriending an Oregon elementary school. Then he went missing." The article says, "This is a story, a true story, more than 3 years in the making. In December 2021, a talking crow flew into a Grants Pass elementary school and started playing with, talking to, and seemingly swearing at the school children. He hung out most of the day, playfully swooping down and chasing kids on the playground. Police were unable to catch him." The Oregonian headline read, "Friendly, foul-mouthed crow befriends entire Oregon elementary school before state police are called in." Immediately, this crow, best bird that's ever existed. He's just flying down, swooping over a playground, teaching kids bad words, evading the cops. This crow's a badass. This crow's like your cool uncle. It turned out the crow had a name, Cosmo, and an owner, Janelle Shattuck. Her daughter came to retrieve Cosmo after his school day and took him back home. Cosmo had been rescued as a young bird and raised by Janelle, but he was a free animal, able to come and go outside and inside Janelle's home in Williams, Oregon. The author of this says, "After Cosmo's viral moment at the school, I contacted Janelle about getting some video clips of her talking bird to share on the Oregonian/Oregon Live social media accounts. But when I called Janelle, she was distraught. Cosmo had gone missing again. And this time, she suspected he'd been killed. It turns out Cosmo had enemies, and a dark side. Some of the neighbors felt terrorized by the bird. The police had been contacted multiple times about Cosmo swooping and pecking kids in the neighborhood." The article continues, "What followed was a sprawling investigation into Cosmo's disappearance. Did someone shoot Cosmo? Who would have had the motive, means, and opportunity? If foul play were involved, was it justified? And who was Cosmo really? A victim or a villain? It's become kind of a whodunit mystery, except there was no crime committed because killing a crow like Cosmo would have been completely legal." And then they plug the first two episodes of a true not-a-crime video series from the Oregonian/Oregon Live, and you can follow along as new episodes released each week. You can find the first two episodes exclusively on the Oregonians TikTok. So I am definitely going to be checking this out. I want to know. I want to follow into the investigation of what happened to Cosmo. I'm saying it right now. Justice for Cosmo. He did nothing wrong. That's what crows do. And he sounds like he was living a happy little bird life. And hopefully we get some answers, because I want to know. I want justice for Cosmo. I want a shirt. I'm going to be printing shirts. You can find one in the merch store. I lied. There's actually one more local story that I wanted to tell you guys about, and this one's very local to me. It's been cracking me up all week, and I am disappointed in myself that I almost forgot about it. So, in case you haven't heard, recently there was some Bigfoot sighting. Big feet sighted in Grand Mound, which is roughly 15 minutes away from where I live. And Bifro is on the case. We got a full investigation going into these Bigfoot sightings. But a couple days after I saw Bifro post and every other Facebook page for a Bigfoot research group ever post about this, the story was disputed by someone who claims that they were the Bigfoot. So the Chronicle posted this on their Facebook page of a man named Gunnar Morgan writing into them saying, "Hey, you posted a story about a Sasquatch sighting yesterday that occurred on February 4th at 12:16 p.m. That Sasquatch running was me. Me and my cousin are adept cross-country runners and live in the area and run often in that exact wilderness area. The reason we appeared larger than usual is because we were running side by side, and we run extremely fluidly compared to most people. I have a Strava report and a Garmin running report, which GPS, HR, and location tracks runs, as well as my cousin Josh Morgan, that can attest that I was in the exact specified area at 12:16 p.m. I was running on a ridgeline with him at 12:16. We were running fast and headed for a tree line. I can pinpoint exactly where the motorcyclist must have spotted us, and where we must have been. I think this story is all very funny. So far, I've never seen Sasquatch on any of my runs. Because I run for Rochester Cross Country and Track, the Chronicle has many photos of me and my cousin that could be used as reference. I stand 6'1", and from a distance, we could be mistaken for a larger creature." So what do you guys think it is? Do you guys think it's this man who's claiming to be Bigfoot now? Just some poor guy just trying to get his miles in? Or do you think we got a couple of Squatch on our hands? Because according to, I feel like it was Bifro. It might have been a different Bigfoot researching organization. I'm sorry if it was. I apologize. But somebody said, they posited this theory that Bigfoot were using Scatter Creek Nature Area into Capitol Forest to kind of travel between like the Olympia areas and over to the Cascades out towards the coast and the Olympic Mountains, which like logically would make sense as a migration route. But also you can go like, okay, well, Bigfoot probably don't exist, and this guy can literally prove that he was in this exact location as he was running, because he has it GPS marked and everything, and he's got a witness to back him up and everything. Just thought that one was a bit of a funny update. And I don't know, I don't know if I'm Team Sasquatch or Team Guy got mistaken for a Sasquatch on this one, because I think that I like to choose whichever is the funniest option. And it's definitely Guy being mistaken for a Sasquatch. So I think I'm on Team Cross Country Runner. Sorry, guys. And now for our next segment, Weird Laws of Washington State. I am using a Tri-City Herald article called "No Hugging While Driving. These 5 Bizarre Laws Are Currently Found in Washington State." And this was posted in September of 2023. So pretty recently, too. All right. Law number 1. No hugging while driving. The revised Code of Washington goes over rules of the road for drivers on state highways. One of these prohibits embracing another while driving. The rule went into effect in 1979 and has remained in the RCW since then. The law states, "It shall be unlawful for any person to operate a motor vehicle upon the highways of this state when such person has in his or her embrace another person which prevents the free and unhampered operation of such vehicle." A violation of this rule is considered evidence of reckless driving. And the thing with rules and laws, in my experience, is that they exist because somebody did it once. You know what I mean? Like any like weird rule in your work handbook that's like, hey, you can't wear a tutu and spit in a customer's face. It's like somebody definitely did that and they 100% got fired for it. And then they had to put it into the rule book. So I want to know the first person to be like, well, it wasn't against the law to be hugging my boo while I'm trying to drive. And like the state having to like reply to them and be like, it is now. We didn't think that we'd have to tell you this. Law number two, no abandoning fridges near children. It is a misdemeanor in Washington to abandon a fridge, icebox, or deep freezer that is at least 1.5 cubic feet in size anywhere children can access it. To avoid the charge when discarding a fridge, you can remove the door or part of the latch so the door cannot be shut and locked. The rule was first enacted in 1955 and has remained in the RCW. This one makes a little bit more sense to me. We don't want kids getting inside the fridges and like locking themselves in there. Something I could see myself as a child doing. Hey, look, guys, an abandoned fridge. I'm going to get inside of it. All my friends run off to go play hopscotch or something. 6 hours passes. Where'd Trista go? You know, still in the fridge. I can see how that's not a good scene. Law number three. No intimidation with a laser. You cannot legally use a laser to intimidate or threaten someone in the Evergreen State. There are 3 degrees of unlawful laser discharge made effective in 1999. Among several other laser uses, it is considered second-degree unlawful laser discharge to knowingly and maliciously discharge a laser at someone to intimidate or threaten them. Violation of this rule is considered a gross misdemeanor. My cats have a solid criminal case against me. Law number 4. No putting someone else's name on a petition. The Criminal Code of Washington prohibits misconduct in signing a petition. This includes, among other instances, writing someone else's name, even a fictional name, on a petition. This code went into effect in 1909 and was updated as recently as 2011. Violation of this rule is considered a misdemeanor. So before you sign Mickey Mouse on any of those change.org petitions, just know that they're going to get you. You're going to wind up with a misdemeanor for trying to be a goofball. They said you want to be a silly goose? Get in the pond. Law number 5. Harming a carrier or racer pigeon. Only the owner of a carrier or racing pigeon can injure, kill, maim, trap, or detain their bird. To knowingly do so to someone else's carrier/racing pigeon is a Class 1 civil infraction. This law was enacted in 1987. And you guys do know that I am going to be doing a Google later and finding out what sort of racing pigeon murder spawned this one, because I feel like there's some drama behind that one. Also, leave the pigeon alone. Also, I don't like that it says that the owner can injure your bird. Let's write that one out. Kill, I understand. That, like, would euthanasia and everything falls under that. Gotta cull your birds, I'm sure. But, like, injure? That's fucked. How does that not fall under animal cruelty? I'm confused. Okay, well, now that my head hurts, I guess we can wrap up this segment. Let's see. Let's have a little bit of a life update. Let's see. Things are going good. Going good. Kind of uneventful. Let's see what's been going on. At the new job still. Still killing it. Settled into my routine over there really nicely. Still really enjoying what I do. Enjoying getting to be creative every day. Enjoying the challenges that come along with it. So it's really nice. Really nice to be into a place where I feel really valued and recognized for my talents and like growing my career skills. Fun stuff that I'm doing. I'm going to Leavenworth. Oh my god, Rob's got me doing it now too. Leavenworth. Leavenworth. Rob is incapable of saying Leavenworth and says Leavenworth. And I'm so embarrassed that I just slipped up and did that. Leavenworth. I've never been, but I'm going with the best tour guide possible. My German-ass boyfriend. I don't know if I'm going to make it to the reindeer farm. That is the one thing that I know/care about there. I mean, okay, I do care about that mountain coaster. I don't even know if it's open. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's like the little like rail track that goes down the side of a hill. They're like all over the place in Europe. And I saw a video like a year or two ago that they were building one here. and I want to ride that thing so bad. I'm going to go about 5 miles an hour, though. I already know Rob's going to go like 250,000 miles an hour down the side of the mountain. So I will be behind him going very slow. And, oh, I get to see Last Podcast in a couple months. I am stoked to do that. I'm taking Rob, and his sister is a really big Last Podcast on the Left fan, too. So we're all going together, and we're kind of dragging him along to be our emotional support slash protection. But I think he's going to have a good time. He started listening to them a little bit. He's not big nerds for it like me and his sister are, but it's been nice to, you know, having someone like in real life to talk about that stuff with, because most of my Last Podcast friends I met online through Facebook groups, and we're all kind of like, I mean, the majority of us are all out here doing our own podcast now, helping each other out with that. But it's been nice to be able to like sit and talk in the flesh about how much we are in love with Marcus, you know what I mean? And I did just buy tickets to go see Dexter and the Moon Rocks again. Same venue. I saw them in last year in Portland. It was such a good show. Got so close. Had the time of my life that I was like, let's try to recreate some of that magic there. So I think that's about it for my life update. It's getting nicer outside. We're moving into springtime. We made it through another year of the gray. What feels like 9 straight months of rain in Washington. So when the sunshine starts hitting, you feel like you are actively on crack. And just enjoy that feeling, you know? Summer's gonna be here before we even know it, and I'm excited to be, you know, dreaming of frying my ass off by a river complaining that it's too hot out. Well, I think that's where I'm gonna end you guys on this episode, so until next time, friends, I will be back again soon. I will be back next week. We're gonna be talking about a beloved local oddity that is a bit of a controversial one. This is one of those things where you either love it or you hate it and you find it absolutely disgusting. And it's just going to be a fun, lighthearted episode with some really interesting details in it. So stay tuned, and until next time, friends.